I'm going to start the hour by talking about a really significant issue that for a lot of people is flying under the radar, but is actually really gaining traction as a way to address public health across the country. Earlier this month, I had a chance to see a documentary called Resilience, the Biology of Stress and the Science of Hope. This was a screening at Silver Spot that was hosted by the Orange Resilience Initiative, which is a coalition of a number of different organizations around our community. It is a documentary about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs for short, A-C-E, what they are and the impacts that they have on kids, not just in childhood, but the continuing negative effects that they can have all the way through adulthood and what we as a community can do to address it. I'm joined now on the air by Alexandra Morris. She's the program's coordinator and early childhood specialist for KidsCope, which is also located right here in our community, but part of the Orange Resilience Initiative, and they're working to get the word out here in our community about ACEs, why they're important, and what we as a community can do. Alexandra, thank you so much for being here with us today in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for inviting me to the documentary a month ago, because that was really, really eye-opening for a whole bunch of reasons that we'll talk about. So what are ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences? What are just sort of the basic things that people ought to know?
So ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, are a set of 10 common childhood traumas that have been identified by doctors and have been surveyed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And ACEs were identified 20 years ago, but we are still learning about them in the greater public sphere now. And this documentary, Resilience, that you mentioned, is a really great way to explore what ACEs are and how they can affect us. But I'll tell you a little bit about what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you about the history. The original Kaiser study, Kaiser Permanente's insurance company, conducted a study in San Diego in the 80s and asked people who were most, two-thirds of them were covered by health insurance, Caucasian, and asked them 10 questions about their adverse childhood experiences, things could be traumatic or extremely stressful. So it covered abuse, neglect, whether they had witnessed their mother being abused, whether their parents had been separated or divorced, whether anyone in their family had mental illness, had abused substances, or was incarcerated. And you get an ACE score with that. So a yes response to each of those 10 questions was a 1. And it was, if it was a no, it was a 0. So the possible range for an ACE score is from 0 to 10 of those 10. And the results were really surprising. Again, this was a middle class population, and they found that 67% of the population had at least one ACE.
Mm-hmm.
What they also found were that 1 in 8 had 4 or more, which is quite significant. You think about what the adverse childhood experiences I just mentioned, they're pretty serious. So that could be very significant for a child to experience.
And I think that's a really important aspect of this, of all of these discoveries here, is that things like experiencing abuse or neglect or mental illness or incarceration in the family or separation or anything like this, these are common experiences that a lot of people just don't talk about. We keep them to ourselves, but everyone around us is also keeping it to themselves as well. Like, the more we realize that we're all kind of in that together,
yes,
is really significant.
It is. It's something that affects us all, and it affects all populations. And I think in our society, we've had the response of just don't talk about it,
mm-hmm.
As if not talking about it is how to deal with trauma. And it's not the best way to deal with trauma. And one of the things that we have found now is the effects of ACEs are not just emotional. They take a toll on the body as
mm-hmm.
well. So it's become a public health issue. Dr. Robert Block, who's the former president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, says that it is the single greatest unaddressed public health threat facing our nation today. So it's affecting, so childhood trauma is affecting adults throughout the lifespan. Mm-hmm. On the emotional level, but also on the physical and behavioral level.
And this actually started with an obesity study, right? Back in San Diego, there was a doctor who, and tell me where I start to get this wrong, because I'm getting this from the documentary. There was a doctor in San Diego who was a doctor that was treating patients for obesity, and he started talking to them, and he kept hearing the same stories from childhood about abuse or neglect or trauma, and he starts thinking maybe there's a connection between having adverse experiences in childhood and physical outcomes like obesity. You do the test and, oh, lo and behold, there's actually a huge connection, and it's not just obesity. It's a whole bunch of different health outcomes, like negative health outcomes that we had never before connected to experiences in childhood.
Yes, our most common diseases, as a matter of fact. And yes, that Dr. Felitti noticed that many of his obesity patients reported having experienced early childhood sexual abuse in particular. And they would lose the weight and gain it back because the underlying trauma of the experience hadn't been addressed. So of these 10 adverse experiences, they found that if you have four or more, you're 2.5 times likely to have pulmonary heart disease. Mm-hmm. 2.5 times as likely to have hepatitis. 4.5 times more likely to suffer from depression. 12 times more likely to attempt suicide. To have ischemic heart disease, 3.5 times more likely. Ischemic heart disease is I think one of the number one killers in the nation. And then lung cancer, 3.5 times more likely. So these are common physical maladies that have been connected to early childhood experiences that may not even have been experienced directly by a child themselves. It may have been witnessing domestic violence. They may not remember, but there's a quote from the film, the child may not remember, but the body remembers.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is brain development actually gets disrupted.
Yeah. Speaking with Alex Morris, again, programs coordinator and early childhood specialist for Kids Cope. Kids Cope here in our community is part of the Orange Resilience Initiative, ORI, which has formed a coalition of a bunch of different organizations here locally to get the word out about ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences, which is what we're talking about now. And the different kind of manifestations of this, as soon as, and people in the documentary and people, there was a panel discussion afterwards at Silver Spot earlier this month, where people sort of shared this kind of same reaction. As soon as you know about it and as soon as you are aware of it, you start seeing the implications and the impacts and the effects everywhere. And I couldn't help thinking just in the last week, we're all focusing on this crisis at the border where families are getting ripped apart and children are being locked in cages, separated from their families.
Yes.
That is an adverse childhood experience.
Absolutely.
It's not just the separation, but it's the long-term effects that are going to happen as a result of that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a sad but very salient example. Since the original ACE study was conducted with those 10 ACEs, we've added on witnessing violence outside the home, mm-hmm. witnessing a sibling being abused, experiencing racism, mm-hmm. sexism, or any other form of discrimination, being homeless, and also natural disasters and war. And these children have been caught in the crossfire of our political systems, and they're experiencing adverse childhood experiences as we speak. Their brain development is being disrupted, and this could have a permanent effect on them through their lifespan. A lot is going to need to be done to help with repair and build their resilience. But what is happening to those children right now is very serious and will affect their physical health as well as their emotional health.
Speaking again with Alexandra Morris of Kids Cope. So now we know that this connection exists, that adverse childhood experiences exist. They're common, they're prevalent, and they have a major impact on physical health, mental health, all the way through adult childhood and on into adulthood and throughout the course of everyone's lives. What do we do with that research now? We can talk about prevention, we can talk about mm-hmm. treatment, targeted treatment for people who are experiencing these as children, but what is being done?
Well, I think knowing the brain science behind it does help us target how to treat it. The reason that brain development is disrupted is because of stress hormones that are released into the child's system, so cortisol and adrenaline. And we can have a positive stress response. It's part of everyday life. But when a child is being exposed to high levels of stress over and over again without any relief, that's the term for that is toxic stress. So it's a chronic activation of the stressors in the body with no buffering, protection, or support.
The documentary talked about had that visual of the kid crossing the street and
yes.
gets a close buzz
truck.
with a car versus a child who's trying to cross a busy highway and is just experiencing that over and over and over again.
Yeah. So living in a situation such as the migrant children on the border who have been separated from their parents and don't know what to expect next mm-hmm. and are by themselves in an unfamiliar place, they are experiencing toxic stress right now, absolutely. But children in our community experience this too, having a parent who's incarcerated, again, substance abuse, mental illness, emotional or physical abuse, the brain has that response. And so one of the things we can do is strengthen our communities and strengthen our families. Because we know ACEs affect all people in communities, we want to think about how do we strengthen our response to trauma as well. So people who've already experienced ACEs, how do we heal from that? And then how do we prevent it from happening to our children currently?
What can be done in schools?
The schools can play a wonderful part. There's actually a model for being a trauma-informed school. Trauma-informed is a term that can describe any system, and it means that the system understands a little bit more about ACEs and how they affect, you know, brain development, and then may come out as behavior, for instance. So children who are having problematic behaviors or learning problems in schools, they could be looked at as in a more wholesome, whole child light in terms of asking the question, not what's wrong with you, but what happened to you, and how do we support the child from that place? You know, how do we support them having a more positive environment, having an adult in their life who's safe, stable, and nurturing?
Mm-hmm. So
if there's not a parent there who's doing that to build the child's resilience, as we call it, you know, how do we find someone in the school system and in the community who could support that child?
I'm listening to you and I'm trying to imagine the potential negative responses in my head, and I can hear people saying, oh, that sounds like such a wishy-washy change, or oh, that sounds like just some buzzwords and whatnot. But like, these changes that you're talking about have been implemented in schools and the effects have been huge. Like, the number of suspensions or behavioral problems has just plummeted within a year or two of these policies and approaches being implemented. And then you talk about the health effects long term that go along with that. It's just unbelievable what a difference can be made.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, these interventions, this trauma-informed care and responses is being looked at very carefully and being measured. And in our own community, the Phoenix Academy
mm-hmm.
has been providing a trauma-informed approach and has had great success. So right there is a wonderful example in our community, and we could continue to grow that. I'd love to see it grow downwards into the elementary schools and into our early childhood education system as well, so that all of our teachers, principals, child care directors are aware of how to create a nurturing environment for the child. This term resilience that I've mentioned is important because resilience is built through relationships. And it's the most common factor for children who develop resilience is a stable, committed relationship with a supportive parent or adult. So we can support our family systems as well. That's one of the things that ORI, the Orange Resilience Initiative, is a lot of the members of this group work in services that provides family supports. So we're providing supports that build parent-child connections, build social and emotional skills for children, help build parental resilience, as well as thinking about what are the concrete supports, such as financial supports and housing in times of need, that families need so that when that stress hits the family system and the child, that they have that buffering support and resilience.
So we talked about schools, you mentioned nonprofit organizations that work with families and kids. What other agencies exist here locally that are in a position right now to sort of step in and make a difference?
There are so many. I don't know if I can be fair and name them all. I'll mention that that KidScope is the nonprofit that I work for, and we provide a parenting education and support curriculum called Incredible Years. So I encourage anyone to contact me about that, and that it really is for anybody. So if you have a child preschool aged or younger, I can support you with that. But we have Prevent Child Abuse of North Carolina, and they're doing work in this region. We've got the health department, of course, and within the health department, the Family Success Alliance is doing some wonderful work, doing cradle to career work to support families. Head Start and early Head Start is also a really critical part of our community, getting children off to a healthy early Head Start.
Mm. So as we got to wrap up here in a second, we're speaking with Alex Morris again of KidScope. And if you want more information about KidScope, chtop.org is the website for the Chapel Hill Training Outreach Project, chtop.org. Go there and click on KidScope. It'll take you right to it, or just Google KidScope Chapel Hill and that website will come right up. But people want more information about ACEs. Maybe they want to watch this movie that I've been raving about for the last 15 minutes. Or get more information about what ACEs are. They can take the test and find out how they're affected and what can be done about it. Where can people go? What's the best sort of online resource?
Online, acestoohigh.com is one of my favorite resources to find out more about ACEs. You can take your own ACE score. Nadine Burke Harris, she has a TED Talk. She's the pediatrician who's featured in the film Resilience. That film is available at our public libraries in Chapel Hill and Hillsboro, so you could go check it out. Again, Prevent Child Abuse of North Carolina is a good resource. And ORI, O-R-I, Orange Resilience Initiative, has a Facebook page. So you can go on our Facebook page and see what we're sharing in terms of local viewings of films and other trauma-informed initiatives in the community.
Anything else that people want to know?
Let's see. I guess that's about it. I do feel like one thing that we can do also is take time for self-care. That's an important part of building our own resilience. So I'd offer you all just to think about time to take a breath, take a reflective moment, listen to music, go outside, get exercise. If you're experiencing a struggle, talk to someone you trust who's a good listener. If you've experienced trauma, find a good counselor or therapist to help you work through that trauma. And be a good neighbor. Think about, even with your neighbors or the cranky person at the grocery store, not what's wrong with them, but what happened to them. Try to build that compassion into our day-to-day lives so we can be a trauma-informed community as well.
Alexandra Morris, KidScope, again, chtop.org for the Chapel Hill Training Outreach Project. More information on KidScope there. Find the Orange Resilience Initiative on Facebook and get more information there about ACEs. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.